Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Wednesday. Today, the special edition of the Peristyle Podcast, we're going to talk to our intern, Keely Yore, about this USC football team. She's been out at all the practices. We want to get her thoughts on what's been going down with USC spring football. She's been covering the team for, I guess, a year and a half or so with us. You can follow her on Twitter at Keely is my name. She's got some Snapchats and Instagrams and all those things. I'll let her tell you what those things are. So it's going to be a pretty cool show. We have some questions that were sent in, just kind of general questions. We'll try to answer each and every one of those. If you have a question for us, podcast at uscfootball.com. That's our email address. You can leave us a voicemail a couple different ways. Call 641-715-3900, extension 816646, or you can go to our website, peristylepodcast.com. Click on the left side of the page from your device, your computer, whatever, and you can leave a voicemail right from that. Of course, you can go to itunes.com/peristylepodcast if you want to subscribe to the show. You can leave us feedback. A rating, 5 stars would be nice. Share the show with your USC football friends. Let them know that you listen to the Peristyle Podcast. All right, well, without further ado, let's bring in Keely. Keely, thanks for coming on, man. What's going on?
Thanks for having me. It's been a long time coming to be on the esteemed Peristyle Podcast.
It has been a while. I just called you man, by the way, so usually
it's cool. It's cool. It's a bro thing.
It's a bro. It's cool. Yeah. Yeah. So how long have you been? Has it been about a year and a half, or what?
I was trying to think about the timeline. I came in fall camp of last year, but I covered the team for the school. So I've been, this spring marks my third year, my third year.
Covering. Okay.
And a year and a half is right. Yeah.
Year and a half's right. Okay.
Feels forever.
For USCFootball.com. Okay, cool. Yeah, so I think we, in the fall sometime, Keely, we're going to have you on the podcast. We wanted to get some questions from the USC football fans to see what the heck, you know, what's going on. They want to know what's going on with Keely. And so now you're on the esteemed Peristyle Podcast. I can't believe we haven't had you on yet. It was funny. We were at practice yesterday, and Shotgun had even mentioned. So Shotgun does a whole bunch of stories. He's done a lot of stuff for the site. But people come up to him the one time he was on the podcast and like still tell him like, hey, I remember when you were on the podcast. It was great. So you might get a lot of people kind of coming up to you about this.
Who knows? It's just, some people come up to me and it's still trippy. I'm just your regular college student, and it's weird when people recognize me. So it's funny.
You are not a regular college student. You are.
I guess not.
No. So yeah, follow her on Twitter at Keely is my name. How many followers are you up to now? You know?
I'm close to 2,000. I'm wow. Like 80 away from 2,000.
Wow. Yeah. Jump on, everybody. Get on. Akili is my name. You had like 100 when we started, I think, right?
No, I literally had like 30. Oh. Yeah. You definitely helped on that area of social media for me. So nice. Thanks.
And then do you do your other like Instagrams and Snapchats or all those? Do you want to give those out?
Yeah, I do Snapchat. You can add me. It's Keelster, KEELSTER. It's one of my nicknames. You can see more of my personal life if you want on Snapchat and Instagram. I don't really accept anyone except for like my close friends on Instagram. So you can try and I probably won't accept you. So yeah, there's that.
All your, so don't you want to have like a kind of consistent social media name? You have like different ones for every.
I didn't really think about that all the way through, but I mean, Keely is my name started out as like a joke when I just started Twitter with like 20 followers, and then it just became a thing, and I feel like now just keep it consistent. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. You got it. I tend to do the Twitter a lot, but the other stuff just not quite as much.
Okay so we have
the questions I mentioned. We're going to do some Keely questions, and we're going to get into people were sent in USC football practice questions from spring football, and Keely and I will both like kind of talk to you about those. So I was going to do a solo podcast, but I thought that would be a little better. just me talking for 45 minutes isn't always the most exciting thing, Keely.
Oh, for sure.
So we had Terrian who wrote in a couple questions.
Okay.
First one's quick. What is your major?
My major is broadcast journalism, and then I'm minoring in sports media studies.
What's sports media studies?
It's basically like half of it is like the theory of sports, which is like really in depth and makes you think about sports in the ways that you don't want to, where you're like, should we be doing this? Is it ethical and stuff like that? And then the other half of it is like just really fun classes that USC provides. Like one of them was sports commentary, and we basically went to just sporting events for our classes, and it was awesome. And that was with Arash Markazi, so that was really fun. So it's a mix of like theory and then like doing really fun things that you could only do at USC Annenberg. So it's cool. It's a fun time.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. He also wanted to know, what was the process to get to work on the website? For example, did you have to compete with other students for the opportunity?
It's kind of funny because both me and Ryan don't really remember how I got this internship. I feel like every time I ask you, Ryan, you're like, yeah, I don't really know. I think happened back in the summer before, like a year and a half ago, Jabari tore his ACL during fall camp, I think, at the beginning of fall camp. And I had not quote tweeted you. That wasn't the thing back then. And I had said like, oh, this is really bad for the team. And I was just tweeting about the team. And then you DM me and you're like, hey, we have an opportunity. So I think that's how it started.
I think so. I think I saw you tweet a couple of my things. It was from Twitter for sure.
Yeah.
And you had retweeted a couple of things or whatever. And I think, I forget who was. So I was like, usually we get an intern or two and they'll like kind of hang around for a couple of years and they graduate or move on. Then you kind of look for new ones. And I was definitely in that mode, I think, when you came along kind of looking for a new one.
Yeah.
But yeah, she definitely had to battle it out though. Like, you know, we're not going to mention her name. There was another intern that Keely just did not get along with, and they fought, and there was.
That is so not true. Ryan is such a liar. That's such a liar.
She's very nice. She would not do that. I tried to start some fights, but it didn't ever work. So
you're just an instigator. That's who you are.
I do. I do like to stir the pot a little bit there. So. and then he had, let's see, he had one more. Do you get academic credit for your work on the website, or will it only serve as valuable resume experience? And he goes on to say, you're doing great. Keep up the good work, Tarian.
Thanks, Tarian. No, I mean, it's basically just for my resume. I mean, definitely Ryan has opened a ton of doors for me, so thank you, Ryan, for that. But yeah, it's just basically to get experience, and what other experience is great besides covering USC football? Because as we all know, it's never a dull moment around USC and USC football. So I've gained a lot of experience covering the team and just being around Ryan and the team. So it's a great thing for my resume. So yeah.
Yeah, Kelly does a great job. Yeah, I mean, you can build a reel. Like, so people, if you want to be on TV, you need some sort of reel. It's a good opportunity to get a lot of footage for your reel, you know, practice doing stuff. And then, you know, I've definitely had a lot of people that were doing, like Keely does ATVN stuff, and I've had people that were doing ATVN, and they're like, oh, my video got 12 views, and then they'll do one for us, and they'll do, oh, I got 5,000 views. Like, okay, that's better, you know? So it's just...
Yeah, for sure. The number of eyes on my work has grown from school stuff to USCfootball.com stuff, so that's also a perk.
All right, let's see. Tarek wanted to know, and this will be the last Keely-specific question, who is the hardest person to interview on the USC roster?
That's interesting. I think in general, the hard interviews are the guys who are shy or have cliches, because you can't really get anything out of them. If we're going to go into specifics, Leon McQuay is really hard. He's really shy, and he's not like confident in what he has to say, so he'll just start laughing after every answer, after everything he says, so it's not really usable. So... yeah, I think Leon McQuay is really hard to interview.
You had one with, Toa Loba? No, it wasn't Toa, it was Vianney.
Oh my gosh, I just did an interview on Tuesday with Vianney, and Toa Lobendon came out of nowhere and just video bombed us the whole interview, and then like the other linemen crowded around. I'm basically laughing through like a fourth of the interview because Toa is like pretending to direct me while doing the interview. It was mayhem. So it's hard when the guys have fun. It's like, it's nice when the guys have fun with it, but it's also like really hard to actually have a serious interview when they do. So it's a struggle.
All right. Well, let's jump back and get some USC football questions, Keely. So
let's
see how you do. We'll start with an easy one. It's not easy. Nick, our buddy Nick from Cyprus, he wanted to know, What is the status of Scott Felix and Don Hill? Do you see them back on the team by season start versus Alabama, or are they forever be in the doghouse? Any thoughts on those two guys?
Well, Helton reaffirmed in, I think, two practices ago that Don Hill is still out for, he's out for the entire spring.
Yeah.
There's no update on Scott Felix. But what's hard, though, is that while Scott Felix is gone, Jabari Ruffin and who's else on the edge? Rasheem Green. Both of them are making some big progress on the edge. And I think it'll be hard for Scott Felix, if he does come back, to try and get that spot. Which is interesting because he had a shot, Porter on the edge.
Yeah,
but Porter had a shot to maybe go to his full potential this season now that Sua left. But now that he's gone, now that he's not suspended, but now that he's not there in spring, who knows what will happen with not playing in spring, you know?
Yeah, and I saw Scott Felix at the pro day. He was there hanging out. So that was kind of interesting that he was hanging around. My gut is that you're not going to see either of those guys play again for USC. That's just my gut. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll kind of see what happens, but I don't, you know, and Clay Helton's not been for issues like that. It's been about, it's very like high level. We're not going to talk about it sort of stuff. Like sometimes, you know, Kiffin or Sark would be like, well, it was this, it was that, like a little more general, but maybe like it was a personal thing and we're going to do this and he's got a conduct, blah, blah, blah. Like Helton's like saying nothing, basically.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, nothing. There's no update. So my gut is, though, you're not going to see those guys play it again. All right. Let's move on to our next question. We've got John in Chatsworth. He says, do you think Daquan Hampton and Jordan Simmons will contribute considerably more to the offense this upcoming season when compared to last season? Megaquan, quote unquote, as they call him, looks like a taller Juju out there. And he seems to be making great blocking and catching plays throughout the spring. Simmons is finally 100% healthy and looks more physically mature than some of the current starters. Do you see either player earning a starting spot come Alabama? Thanks for all you guys do. John in Chatsworth.
I think Daquan has a better shot than Simmons does. Daquan has been looking good in spring practice this season. As far as Simmons goes, there's so much depth on the O-line because he was injured in fall, he didn't get that much experience after switching over from the D-line. So in that sense, I don't think Simmons has that much of a shot compared to Daquan. And Daquan went off on Tuesday how he has more chemistry with Max Brown, how he felt that he didn't get as much playing time he didn't get the ball as much as he should have with Cody. So he seems confident in his relationship with Max that he'll have a better shot and a better experience than he did in fall. So far, Daquan has been looking pretty good this spring.
Yeah, check out our Tuesday interview. Shotgun did a story. Very interesting of some of the stuff he said. Basically, like Juju was getting double teamed and I was wide open and Kessler wouldn't throw it to me. So he probably got a talking to from some of the things he said, because he said it to cameras. I mean, it was all on the record, obviously.
Yeah, which is definitely something that the USC players are told not to do, for
right.
Sure.
Yes.
It made so much waves because we never hear that from the players, which is interesting. But it was refreshing because to get that type of honesty from the players, I'll give you that.
Yeah, and then they've been actually using like a four-person rotation at guard, and Jordan Simmons has been in there. I agree with Keeley. I don't think he'll end up starting, but they're going to be probably 10 deep on the offensive line, and you know, he could definitely get some turns in there. So if someone gets hurt too, I mean, he's got a shot. So former five-star. So we'll see what happens with him. All right. We have I love international questions. This is our buddy Neil in Manila. He says, which of the running backs that seldomly played last year, namely Dominique Davis and Akacedric Ware, and then perhaps, anyone new coming in this year, has the best chance in getting some carries in the coming season? Also, what do you think about the idea of Ronald Jones being a returner in special teams? If Adoree Jackson won't be returning the kickoffs, who will? Thanks and fight on from Manila, and that's Neil.
Wow, two-part question. Okay, first part, I think Akacedric Ware, he looks really good this spring. I was noticing he kind of has a similar body type to Trey Madden. He's like a skinnier Trey Madden, and I think if he he kind of runs the same way as Trey Madden a little bit. So I think if he kind of fits into that role, he can kind of take up what is missing with Trey Madden gone. As far as Dominique Davis, I think he could have a real impact. I think he is also, he's doing track along with spring practice. So he kind of looks overwhelmed during spring. I don't know if you get that, Ryan, but I kind of get that sense that he's kind of overloaded with everything he's doing. But I think we'll see definitely more from Cedric Ware because his production kind of tailed off as the season progressed. As far as Ronald Jones, as returner, is that what the question was?
Yeah.
Ronald Jones has a problem with catching the ball.
Fair point.
So I don't know if that would be the best idea, especially because they've been putting guys out like Deonte Burnett and
Steven Mitchell.
Yeah. So I think I would definitely go with those guys before you put Rojo in the backfield.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Cedric Ware, I mean, he's kind of a bowling ball bruiser style. He's not like huge, but he's more of a power guy. But the mm-hmm. problem is that Justin Davis is trying to become or has become more of a power kind of guy too.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to use Davis in that role more. Maybe like I thought he might have a unique little niche in this offense and kind of take what Trey Madden was bringing to the table when he wasn't hurt. But mm-hmm. I think they like Justin Davis doing that too. So I don't know. It might be a two-man rotation.
Yeah, I think the bigger story is the role that Justin Davis has kind of developed this spring, you know?
Yeah, because he's definitely run with a lot of power there. And you don't look at him and think of him as some kind of power back, but they do that short yardage stuff. They love just pounding him through there.
Yeah, and it's definitely different from the way that he was used in fall, and I definitely like the way they're using him in spring. It's interesting.
Yeah. Neil had another question for you, so we love international stuff. Ooh. There's clearly so much talent on USC's wide receivers in Juju Smith, Rogers, Mitchell, Hampton, Whitney, Burnett, Emmett Dorbebe, Pittman, and all those other freshmen. All of them can play. How do you think they'll get enough playing time? And who do you think has a legitimate shot of being the second wide receiver to take heat off of Juju? Thanks and fight on, Neil in Manila.
I mean, the interesting thing now is that T is the coordinator. So he also coaches these guys. So I think if anything, T will figure out a rotation. But if you talk to T about, hey, there's so much talent on this team, he goes, well, we're also selfless. Like, he says that, like, it's a team mentality and whoever gets the reps gets the reps. So I think he's preaching, like, hey, whoever is going to get the ball is going to get the ball. Obviously, Daquan Hampton didn't really had a problem with that. But I think there needs to be a rotation, but how that will play out, I don't know. And that's the downside to having so much talent is there's only so many spots you can put in them on the field, you know? What was the second question? Was there a second question?
I don't think there was a second question. But, I mean, who's going to take the heat off Juju, basically?
Oh, okay. I mean, kind of what we saw last in fall, it's up to probably Rogers or Steven Mitchell. If both of them can stay healthy, I think they'll be the number two guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Hampton certainly is trying to make a case.
Yeah.
Isaac Whitney is back. I mean, there's... Deonte Burnett, he led the team against Cal, I think, with like 80 receiving yards and then, disappeared.
Deonte Burnett is such an underdog. I don't know if people pay attention to him, but he can catch everything.
Yeah.
And he's young. He was a blue shirt, but once he comes into his own, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with because he can catch everything. And he's fun to watch in practice too. You know, have you seen it? He just you lob the ball up there and he'll get it.
Yeah.
So
he's a lot of fun. You got sirens going off over there, Keely.
Sorry.
She's over at USC, so they're
living in South LA. We'll do that to you.
All right. Let's move on with another international question. This one's from our brothers up north in Canada. So Sean says, hey guys, great work the last few weeks during the quiet period. I have a question for Ryan or his guest. I almost said Gerard for me. That's crazy. Ryan or
you
his
guys
guest.
Are one of the same.
Yeah. Ryan or his guest. His guest would be Keely today. Clancy Pendergast's defense in 2013 was the best and most aggressive I have seen since the Pete Carroll glory days in the early mid-2000s. He was the most upsetting coach to not be kept, and I think it was a blessing he hasn't landed a permanent job since. His scheme has proven it works in the Pac-12, specifically against the spread. With the increase in Pac-12 prestige the last few years, the entire conference is deeper and more talented. There likely isn't a conference with as much parity. With that being said, the talent at USC and the talent of the rest of the conference, do you think it's still possible for USC to be the top defense in the conference? I'm hopeful this can be the case. There isn't a more talented defense, and now we have a proven coach and system. Do you think the players can catch on quickly, and we can become that suffocating defense that forces turnovers and doesn't allow many red zone points again? Thanks from Canada, Sean.
What a question. Do you want, hey, you do the podcast of champions. Do you want to take this from a Pac-12 perspective?
Yeah, yeah. I could, and I don't, were you even around for 2000, were you around in 2013 or no?
As a student, yes, but as a reporter, no.
Okay, so you were, that was like your, probably your first year at SC, right?
Or, yes, it was.
Okay, yeah. So you could kind of chime in and stuff too. Yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, the biggest issue USC had last year wasn't the talent on defense. I think they improved the depth. And if you look at the 2013 team, they didn't have defensive depth. They had some good frontline players, but they played, when they beat Stanford, they played 12 guys basically. I think, Torrin Harris might have came in for like one play, or there was some sub that came in for one play, but they basically had a rotation of 10 guys in one and another position where they shifted back and forth a couple of times. So they played like 12 players and they still beat Stanford. There's a lot more depth now on the defensive side of the ball. And I think the biggest difference, the two things, if you look at what Clancy Pendergast was doing, definitely more aggressive. It's more of an attacking style. I think it suits the personality and the athletes on this team a lot better. If you look at what Justin Wilcox did, and I've been able to kind of pick the brain of some of the former assistant coaches that were working under Wilcox, you know, since they had left, and, you know, just kind of get their thoughts. And one of the things that you learn is that Wilcox's schemes would change every week depending on the offense that USC would play. And there was a lot to learn, and you're kind of, it's more of a read-react sort of defense, where Clancy Pendergast is more of a, just, you know, you're attacking. It's more, I think it just suits the athletes that USC has better. Now, like Wisconsin or Boise or whatever, I think when, you know, Wilcox's scheme can work really well. But here, I think you're taking some of what make these good defensive playmakers, what makes them special. You're kind of taking it away a little bit. And it just, I just don't think that system worked. I do think Pendergast's system will work. On the defensive line too, it's a little bit different. You won't get too technical, but there's like a two-gap scheme where each defensive lineman would be responsible for the gap on either side of the offensive lineman that they're facing. So you're kind of reading that too and trying to figuring out, you know, which, where you're trying to feed, you know, where you're going and what you're plugging. And in Pendergast, it's a one-gap thing where here's where you go. Just go and get it and do it. And so I think the simplicity level is much higher. I think the aggressive level is higher. And I think overall it's going to help. So they certainly have a shot. I mean, you look at the teams in the North, though, so that just those teams are very talented. Washington, what they were able to do last year on defense after losing four of the top 44 picks in the NFL draft. And it's amazing what they've been able to do. So it's not going to be easy, but I think you can, I think the important thing is this defense can take some pretty big strides and get a lot better this year just with the scheme wise. And I don't think it's going to be, there's difficulties kind of picking it up for some of these players. It's definitely more simplistic than what was going on under Wilcox. And I think, I'm not overly optimistic on this team in general, but I think I have more optimism on this team being better defensively, from what I'm seeing with Clancy Pendergast so far.
Yeah. I think that's the one thing that you notice, at least from last year and this year, is it's just so much more aggressive. And I think that was our complaint last season, is that they had the personnel, they just weren't using them right. And I think, as you said, it works better this way.
Yeah. So, Sean, thanks for that one. Hopefully that answered your question. Let's see. We got Ryan, another Ryan. So this is Ryan in Long Beach. Quick question. Do you think having the LA Rams playing in the Trojans Coliseum for the next 2 years will have any kind of positive effect in recruiting, or just on the team in general? Thanks for the podcast, brother. It's great to hear a little Trojan insider every week. Keep it up and fight on. What do you think, Keely? You think any positive? What's the buzz around campus right now with the Rams coming, if any?
I mean, I noticed there are LA Rams stuff in the USC bookstore now, so that's definitely a change. But, I mean, for my generation, I think the NFL left LA like around 100 days after I was born. So it's just, it's not really a thing for us, if that makes sense. So I, as far as the student perspective, it's exciting, but it's also like, how excited can you get about something you've never really known? So if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
But as far as the team goes, do you want to take that one? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think there's certainly positive effects on the recruiting side of things. I mean, you see it in basketball where you have the Lakers and the Clippers just down the street. I don't think that hurts when you have former, USC guys, NBA guys showing up at basketball games. And I think the same sort of thing on the football side, like a TJ McDonald will be around. He'll be around a lot more, plays for the Rams. And now we see NFL guys come back, like Leonard Williams has been, I think, at every practice. It's crazy how much he's been.
Yeah, he comes back a lot.
He's hanging around a lot. You're like, dude, you graduated. You're done. Move on. It's cool. I mean, but the players like that kind of stuff. I don't think it'll hurt. I think it's certainly, if something can help, there's, revenue-wise, the Rams will bring something to the table. The Rams announced that they're going to, have temporary, it's not training camp. I think it's their offices and stuff. They'll be using the training facilities at Cal Lutheran. And so Cal Lutheran is excited. They're going to build a whole bunch of stuff out. They're, build a couple practice fields. So I think when a professional team comes in and uses your stuff, it's not going to get worse. I think it's going to get better, So
yeah,
probably not a bad thing overall, I would guess. Okay, let's see. We got Eugene. Everyone understands that the job of the media is to influence the influence and manipulation, that doesn't make sense, the views of its audience. But at some point, you would hope someone would buck the trend and not carry the party line. All right, but I'm going to disagree. I don't think our job is to influence and manipulate you guys.
Yeah, I was about to say. I don't think that's our job.
All right, so he says, Coach Helton is the next in line of coach/politician who spits out the PC nonsense. I think he's not talking about Pete Carroll, just politically correct. There is no open competition for the starting quarterback position. Every thinking individual knows this. Please stop the charade. Every article I've read about the battle always makes reference to quote-unquote front-runner Max Brown or veteran Max Brown or job-to-lose Max Brown, yet it's an open competition. Check your site and see the big difference in the amount of footage for Sam Darnold versus Jalen Green versus Brown. It's not to sway public opinion. If that's not to sway public opinion, I don't know what is, Eugene. And to be fair, I think Eugene sent this in after I put up highlights of Max Brown from practices a couple weeks ago. But then I put up highlights of all four. I mean, I put them all up. I just put Max Brown's up first because he's getting the first team reps. But Eugene's not happy. I think he might be a San Clemente guy, like a Sam Darnold fan. Those Orange County guys don't like to see non-Orange County starting quarterbacks. But what do you think about the competition, Keely?
I mean, for me, I think at this point you should just call it. Helton talks like it's Max Brown. And we all kind of know it's Max Brown, but no one's really going to say it yet. Or Helton's not going to call it yet. For me, just personally, I don't think if it's clear to everyone in the room who the quarterback's going to be, I don't think it's healthy for a team to have that competition go longer than it needs to be. Just being on a team myself, it causes division, whether you want to admit it or not. And so I think you just need to have a clear leader of the team. And if you know it, why drag it on? You know what I mean? So for me, I think Helton should name Max Brown the starter because it's pretty obvious that he's going to be the starter.
Yeah. And we're not trying to manipulate. I don't care who ends up starting. I'll tell you who I think has looked best and who I think should be the starter. Doesn't always mean anything, but we're going to watch we can watch when we're not blocked by all the prospects.
Yeah.
And kind of tell you what we think about what we're seeing out there. But it is true. I mean, Max Brown has been getting every starting rep, though in the scrimmage, there was a series that Sam Darnold got where they kind of sat Max Brown down and Sam Darnold ran the first team offense and they scored a touchdown. And then Jalen Green got to come in and kind of run the second team. So they kind of moved those two guys up the pecking order and, Darnold looked great. The problem is I think Darnold can be a really special player. Is it enough to trump how long Max been around? I mean, former five-star, and he's gotten better every year he's been around. I'm just not sure it's enough yet, but I think there's real, I mean, I think there's an actual competition going on, but there's a clear Darnold has to jump ahead of him somehow, and I just don't think that's happened yet, at least in the mind of the coaches.
Yeah, and Helton alludes to that too. He says that Max Brown's ahead, and you would expect that as someone who's been here for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's kind of loose to what you were saying. Max Brown has all these years under his belt, and Sam Darnold doesn't. And I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, this is his fourth spring practice, you know? I mean, yeah. This is Sam Darnold's first. So
yeah.
that's a pretty big difference. And this is funny. So here's my whole theory too. I'm not going to say there's not political reasons you would also want to start Max Brown. And this question is something I've brought up a few times. Steve in Arizona, he says, if Max is not the starter at USC, is there a chance Kiffin gets him to transfer to Alabama and we have to face him as an opposing quarterback? And I completely think that's possible because he's going to graduate, I think this semester. So he has 2 years of eligibility left. He can be a graduate transfer and go play somewhere else. And you don't need anyone's permission. You just go. And why wouldn't Lane Kiffin want to bring him in there? He could win 2 national championships at Alabama after sitting behind Cody Kessler for 3 years at USC. But I totally think that's plausible and another reason why you would want to name him the starter if it's close. I don't know. What you think, Keely?
Yeah, you wouldn't want that to happen for sure. So
that would be a very USC thing to happen, though.
Oh, man. Don't start it. Don't start it, Ryan.
Would it not?
Don't
like,
instigate.
Because usually some USC. Weird stuff happens around USC. That I don't know if it could get much weirder than that, you know.
Like don't challenge it, Ryan. That's all I gotta say. Just don't test the limits.
All right, let's. We got a few more, and we'll let you go, Keely. Sorry, these are kind of long. Reggie wrote in. Thanks for the podcast as usual. My question has to do with USC and their history with 5-star recruits. I've followed SC for some time now, and it appears that many of the 5-star talent recruited USC hasn't reached their 5-star potential. Are players being developed at SC as well as they are at other programs, or is SC just getting it wrong when evaluating talent? Secondly, I read a recent story where the tight end special teams coach John Baxter talked about his experience at Michigan, how he felt Michigan had no business winning the number of games they won with the talent they had on the roster last year. Why do teams like Michigan and Michigan State win with less talent than USC supposedly has? This speaks to the question of whether SC is developing their players. Talk a lot about the new coaches on the SC staff. Do you think we'll get the most out of the current talent on the roster? Any thoughts there, Keely?
You take this one first, and I'll chime in.
Okay.
I'm curious what you have to say.
Okay, so I really do feel that it's as far as 5-star bus goes, we're not seeing a lot of those. Who's on the roster that's like kind of a 5-star bus? Like we haven't seen a lot of contribution from Jordan Simmons. Max Brown hasn't had to do anything yet, but he's likely going to be the starting quarterback. You're not going to call him a 5-star bust. You're not seeing a lot of the Whitney Lewis's from before. He came from St. Bonaventure High School and just, you know, kind of crapped out. Ricky Town was pretty much a former 5-star and had to transfer out right away. So, you know, but he went to another big program. It's not like that. Kenny Bigelow, you know, he was a 5-star guy. He's been hurt a lot, so it's not really that. But you look at what happened on signing day a couple years ago. How important it was for Steve Sarkisian to get Juju Smith, Adoree Jackson, and Damian Mama like all in the same day. I mean, that was a big deal. And Scout had all those guys as 5-stars. And if you're not saying like that made a difference, I mean, you're talking guys that, you know, huge contributors. Now, did Adoree Jackson maybe regress a little last year? You could argue that, but I don't think those are like 5-star busts. I mean, those are 5-stars that without them, I just don't know where this team would be.
I can't even imagine this team without Adoree or Juju or Damian Mama.
Yeah.
That's just insane.
That was all one day. So if Steve Sarkisian doesn't have a good day that day, I don't know where this team is.
That's a great point.
Yeah. But I think development is a major, you know, recruiting is one thing. And what is talent? What do you define talent as? Like this guy can run fast or jump high or whatever. He's a great athlete. We see guys that can't jump as high or run as fast and play for Boise State and beat big teams. You know, it's about developing those players too and the scheme that they're in. There's a lot of aspects of it. And I just don't think that the coaches have really got the most out of these guys. So that's, you know, job number one to me is developing a lot of the players that are already on the roster, because there is a lot of talent here, and you want to make them better. You want guys to get better. I don't know if Cody Kessler got better, from his junior or senior year. I would argue he didn't. Is that on Clay Helton? Is that on, all the coaching? I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say, but
you also had to make note that no other program has had as many coaching changes as USC has had. I mean, like, if you look at the O-line, Zach Banner's had five coaches now, five O-line coaches.
Yeah.
How can you make progress as a player if you're having to adjust to a new coach every single year, you know?
I mean, it's a great point, and it's hard. I mean, especially in the offensive line, like, that's not a position like running back where you just come in and start contributing. That's like a develop over time sort of position. And to have five different coaches in 5 years, I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. And you could argue that it was a very talented offensive line that underperformed last year. Expectations are high this year, and people seem to like Neil Callaway. Like I said, it's probably going to be a 10 deep rot. I mean, the guys that got going, you got three tackles in the rotation, four guards. We like what Nico Fowler's doing at center, but you still got two top centers out right now. I mean, there's a bunch of dudes that can come in and contribute. If this line underperforms again, yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't think you're developing the talent really well then.
Yeah.
All right, two more. We got John in Portland. Cameron Smith had a highly touted freshman season. What made him so good? I know he led the team in tackles, but that is not unusual for a starting inside linebacker. What do you foresee from him in Pendergast's system for his sophomore season coming off an injury? John in Portland.
You want to take this, Ryan? I'll chime in.
Okay, so I watched him a lot through the recruiting process. And when we see them out in the 7-on-7 circuit, like an inside linebacker who's kind of a run-stopper dude, not always ideal for him because he's covering little scat backs. Like, you're doing a lot of one-on-ones, but it's not tackling. It's covering little running backs. And so he worked hard, I think, to try to get better at that just because we would see him at camps and combines and just don't want to get beat all the time. So I think he really worked on that. To me, what he's very instinctual as a player. He was the least touted linebacker coming in from that class last year. Behind the rest of the guys, also Messina, Port Augustine, and John Houston, definitely the less heralded, and he had the biggest impact, like you said, leading the team, and three interceptions versus Utah, that was really big. He could have had other interceptions too, like he dropped some other ones, but he just seems to be in the right place at the right time, and just knows where to be. So I think, and that inside, middle linebacker, a lot of it's instinctual, just being in the right spot and knowing where to go. And he seems to have that down. So, he was a huge surprise. I just don't think without him last year, I don't think USC has the kind of season that they did. Not it was as great that, as people wanted, but it could have been. It probably would have been worse without him in there.
Yeah, and you could see that in the Oregon game when you had Uchenna and Buddha there. But I see I'm in a unique position where I also see these guys outside of practice. I actually had a class with Cam Smith. So What makes Cam Smith also so good is his work ethic. He would talk about just randomly in class how he works so hard outside of practice, just getting extra reps, doing more in the training room. Like, he works really hard, and you can tell by the way he talks about it. So I think that also contributes to it too. Like, he has natural instinct, but he also puts a ton of work in off the field and on it. So, yeah.
All right, we got one more question, and I think this is going to be right in your wheelhouse. So this should be a perfect one to end on for you, Keely. This is from Dan, class of 1962. He says, Ronald Jones III is constantly being compared to Reggie Bush, which is a fair comparison, but he actually reminds me more of Jaguar John Arnett, our USC All-American running back from 1954 to 1956. So you remember him, Keely.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I watched him in his heyday.
Young Trojan fans may not know about John Arnett. Yes. But he had a unique speed and elusiveness, and if he weren't banned from playing half of his 1956 senior season when the school was penalized for selling game tickets, he would have probably beaten Jim Hornung for the Heisman Trophy that year. Notre Dame was 2-8, USC was 8-2, and USC beat Notre Dame by about 30 points in the Coliseum to end the year, but were ineligible for the Rose Bowl. By the way, those were the years when a player could not play on the varsity as a freshman, and we had a freshman named a freshman team called Trobabes. There must be like young Trojans. There was no such thing as a redshirt year, although many great players like John Ferrero had a break in their play due to service during World War II and the Korean War. Thanks again for all you do, Dan, Coach Hyde, and Gerard, and you too, Keely, for a terrific podcast, and fight on, Dan from 1962.
Wow. I wish I could just have, like, lunch with this Dan guy, because the stories he has are probably amazing. Wow.
Yeah, that's great. Neither of us, even me, even though I'm like...
Are you sure, Ryan? You're pretty old.
I am pretty old, but that's I did not get to see Jaguar John Arnett play, but... Ronald Jones is definitely a special player, and there's a reason why when we're, you know, watching games, every other tweet we get is, why doesn't Ronald Jones get the ball more?
Yeah.
Because he's good.
Yes, he is.
Cool.
Was there a question that he had asked, or was he just showing off his extensive USC knowledge?
I think he was just showing off his extensive knowledge, just talking about Ronald Jones.
I appreciated it, so there's that.
That was good. Yeah, there were, you know, rules were a little different back then. Even they were different when I was in school, Keely, than what you got going on here. But good stuff. So, I mean, Keely, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Give you a little taste of what we do here on the Peristyle Podcast.
Yeah, you guys put in work. Thanks for having me. I'm very glad to be on.
She had a long day of classes today. So
it's not even over. I'm actually late for my class right now.
Oh,
the Peristyle Podcast is worth it.
We'll let you go. Hey, I was on the Peristyle Podcast talking about Jaguar John Arnett. So if you tell him that, see if your professor knows what you're talking about there.
I think so. It's Fellinzer. Do you know Fellinzer?
Oh, yeah. Jeff will know. Yeah, dude, bring that up. Tell Jeff. Well, tell Jeff you were on the podcast. He'll be like, that's fine.
I will.
That's life experience. And your last question was from Dan from 1962. And that's good stuff. All right. Well, that's Keely.
We have Sam Cunningham in our class. He's going to speak to our class today. So that's pretty cool.
I know Sam pretty good. Me and him have spoken at a couple different events. And with USC coming up playing Alabama, of course, him in the 1970 game and all that. So
yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be fun. So he's a really, really nice guy. So tell him hello. Tell him that, you know, you work with me, and he'll be, oh, cool.
Sure, I will. You give me places, Ryan.
We try. All right. Keely is my name. Follow her on Twitter. Keely is my name. I think she owes me a couple video interviews.
I do. They're coming.
So we'll get them up on the site. So check out her work on USCfootball.com. Thanks so much, Keely.
Thanks.
Cool. And everyone else, thanks so much for tuning into the Peristyle Podcast. We will talk to you next time.
Most people know that buying or selling real estate is no small undertaking. Understanding the market value of your home, pricing, advertising, closing, and perhaps even selling personal property along the way are all examples of the real estate journey. And Michael Moline Real Estate has the experience to help make that journey an enjoyable one. Southern California real estate inventories are at historic lows, so there is no better time than now to sell your residential property. Whether you're moving into a bigger home or downsizing, personal property is often a component of the real estate transaction. Michael Moline Real Estate has industry expertise to help you with both your real property and your personal property as you get ready to transition. Michael Moline Real Estate specializes in properties located on the west side of Los Angeles and the southern San Fernando Valley communities. Allow Michael Moline Real Estate to give you a free comparative market analysis and home valuation so you know how much your home is worth today. Contact Michael Moline at michaelmolinerealestate.com. That's Michael, M-O-L-I-N-E, realestate.com.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.